Beyond a lush green carpet of trees in Central Park, the buildings of New York's Upper East Side tower against a blue sky. A title appears, Like Mother, Like Son, The Strange Story of Shantae and Kenny Kimes, based on a true story. Titles continue, starring Mary Tyler Moore as Shantae Kimes, Robert Forster as Ken Kimes, Gabriel Olds as Kenny Kimes, and Jean Stapleton as Irene Silverman. Music by Robert Clark, edited by David Colebrook. Production designer Patty Reardon. Director of Photography James Grant, ACS. Executive producers Mary Tyler Moore and Sue Pollock. Co-executive producers Larry Garrison and Scott Brazil. Produced by Frank Konigsberg and Drew Smith. Based upon the book, The Mother, the Son, and the Socialite by Adrian Haville. Teleplay by Paul Eric Myers. Directed by Arthur Allen Seidelman. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS. Described by Carol Hostetler, Joshua Kastorf, and Jan Stankus. Read by J.T. Turner. Now, in a courtroom, a judge stares down at a well-dressed woman with graying hair and a handsome young son at her side.
In the course of an outrageous scheme to appropriate false ownership of Miss Silverman's building, you and your son, a remorseless predator, murdered a defenseless old woman. Miss Kimes, you rank as the most degenerate defendant ever to appear in this courtroom. A sociopath of unremitting malevolence.
Her brown eyes, ringed with black liner, fix on the judge. Now, in a flashback, Shantae Kimes sits on a park bench taking notes. A title, 2 years earlier. Her son, Kenny, sits beside her. Wearing a trim navy blue suit, he fiddles with his fingers and looks around. Leaning back, he nudges his mother.
Oh. Well, look at there. 11:30 on the dot.
She eyes an older woman who walks her dog.
It's Shanti.
Is a dog worry you?
Not unless he's got a law degree. She looks just like the pictures, doesn't she?
As the boxer tugs the smiling woman along, her hair, dyed a vibrant orange, bounces with each step.
4 months of planning? Now it's showtime.
Go charm the pants off her.
Kenny grins.
Go to.
She smiles proudly. Now the streets of New York bustle with activity. On a quieter street, pedestrians pass the imposing facade of a limestone mansion. On either side of a door, columns rise proudly, crested by a blanket of English ivy. With a glance over his shoulder, Kenny rings the doorbell. A man wearing a silk vest and black tie opens the towering door.
Hi, Manny Guerin.
I believe Miss Silverman is expecting me.
Please, come in.
He nods to Kenny as he ushers him into a spacious foyer.
I'll let Mrs. Silverman know you're here.
Kenny turns, grinning at the opulent marbled hall. The boxer comes around a corner and stops. Kenny's smile fades and he bites his lip. Entering, Mrs. Silverman pats her dog's head.
Hush, Sophie! Hush! Hush! I'm so sorry. I'm Irene Silverman. You must be Mr. Guerin.
Yes, Manny. Manny Guerin.
Mm-hmm. We have a mutual friend, I believe. Scott McCauley.
Scott? Yes, Scott. How is he?
Oh, busy as ever.
That's Scott, all right. It's nice to meet you.
Yes, the pleasure is mine.
Oh, Sophie, hush. She's never fussy this way. Hush. It's all right. He's a friend. You have a perfect sense of timing, Mr. Guerin. My guests are all fleeing the city for the summer. I have just one vacancy available, and it's a beautiful suite. Would you care to see it?
No, I will take it. If it's anything like what I've seen already, it will be perfect.
Well, then, there's just a little paperwork to do.
She leads him to a room off the foyer, papered in a red argyle pattern. As Irene sits, Kenny pulls out a neat pile of bills and places it on her desk. Hmm.
$6,000 a month, if I remember correctly.
You certainly have a flair for the dramatic, Mr. Guerin. I like that. Now, if I could see some form of identification.
I'm sorry, identification?
Yes, we keep something on file here. Driver's license, social security number, it's just a formality.
Well, I don't have a driver's license, but my social security number is 553.
She peers at him through large red-framed glasses.
Oh, God, I can never remember. I tell you what, why don't I get it to you once I'm settled? I think it's in my luggage.
Oh, of course. Whenever you have the chance. Now, I'll show you to your suite.
Thank you.
Smiling, she walks through the foyer.
In here, a bit of communal space. A parlor, you're welcome to use it any time. Mm-hmm. And coffee and croissants every morning.
And this?
Kitchen, mainly for me. We don't serve meals. But if you're ravenous, I'm sure you'll find some fruit or a bowl of cereal.
He turns to a framed photo of a ballerina.
Who's this?
Me.
Really? A dancer.
New York City Ballet. A lifetime ago.
I'm not surprised. You have a certain elegant bearing about you.
I'll have to watch you, Mr. Guerin.
No. Never turn down a compliment, Mrs. Silverman.
You may call me Irene. That picture was taken at a performance of Swan Lake. Of course, I was just in the corps, but isn't that the magic of a photograph? All me, nothing but.
Well, why not? It's your wall.
Now, Shantae strides through the park, wearing a trim blue skirt and jacket with a white ruffled blouse. Sitting by a man on a bench, she crosses her long, thin legs.
Wonderful day, isn't it? Temperature is just perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
Thrusting out her chest, she slips off her jacket.
Oh, that's a beautiful suit. Oh, don't mind me. I just love men's suits.
Raising an eyebrow, he turns back to his newspaper.
How they smell. Ooh, how they feel.
He grins politely.
I know it's nutty. I just can't help it.
I'm not even sure it's still in style.
Oh, but they're timeless. Men are lucky that way. Italian gabardine. Yeah, I can tell from here. Soft to the touch. The expression is it has a nice hand. Huh? May I?
Her long manicured fingers fondle his lapel. He shifts awkwardly.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've overstepped.
No.
Are you sure?
I better get back to the office. Excuse me.
As she leans close to him, he leaves.
There was a time I would have had you eating out of my hand. Oh, why'd you have to go get old?
Now in a flashback, a younger Shantae with her hair teased in a bouffant sits in a parked car with a little boy.
Kent, look! There he is! That's him!
Who?
Your new daddy!
Where?
Right there! The man in the middle!
The rich man in the middle.
Does he know me?
No, not yet, sweetie, but he will. You just leave that to Mommy.
She paints on some red lipstick.
Okay, baby. I'm gonna go make friends. You lie down and take a little nap while I'm gone, huh? I'll be back in a wink.
Shantae strides across a construction site wearing a tight-fitting white dress. She follows a dark-haired man with his sleeves rolled up into a trailer.
Ken Kimes?
She saunters toward him.
I am so pleased to meet you.
He takes her extended hand.
I'm sorry?
Shantae Chambers. I spoke to you on the telephone. I'm here to do the interview for the magazine.
Ah, yes. Shantae, is it?
Shh. Soft S. Shantae. I think it's prettier. Ken Kimes. Successful businessman, single, divorced with grown children. Built over 30 motels and sold each one at a handsome profit. I'll say you're a successful businessman.
I figure a need, then I fill it.
Beats picking melons under the scorching sun, doesn't it?
So you've done your homework.
He sits across from her.
All right. I'm ready. Ask me anything.
Anything? You're brave.
Smiling, Shantae leans forward, her breasts rounding above the low-cut bodice of her dress. Ken smiles back, surrounded by blueprints tacked to drawing boards. Outside, Shantae's son Kent peeks in the window.
Enough about what you do. Let's move on to what's really important. What does Ken Kimes wish for?
I'm careful about what I wish for, so I better answer carefully.
Don't ever be careful.
She stands.
Just say what's on your mind. You never know. Might be something I can give you.
With a wry smile, Ken raises an eyebrow. Now in a hotel lounge, they sit at the bar. Wearing a red blazer, Shanti fondles the collar of Ken's suit as they share a long kiss.
I love you.
She glances across the lounge.
There is no one like you.
A woman lays her mink coat over a chair.
Let's get out of here.
As Ken pays the bill, Shanti saunters out, picking up the mink. With a desperate glance around, Ken follows quickly behind.
I can't believe you did that. Look, you're going to have to take this back.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Maybe because it's against the law.
Oh, come on. That's the kick of it, baby. It's a game. It's fun. And you like it as much as I do, don't you? Now, don't worry. I'll have the lining replaced, and she will have her insurance company pay her up, and I'll have this creature.
One that you've stolen?
No, don't say that word. I don't like that word.
She takes his arm.
Still, it's not right.
Hey, there's a lot that's not right. What does it have to do with anything? What does it have to do with us? You know, as Shakespeare said, all's well that ends well, and I think all's gonna end real well for us tonight.
Wrapping him in the fur coat, Shanti backs Ken into their hotel room. Now a teenage Kent stands by a window, watching Ken twirl a little boy on his back.
Let's go, Kent.
Papa, you put Kenny down before you break him.
Oh.
Besides, I want the boys to go shopping with me.
Do I have to?
No grumbling. Let's just hop to.
Here, baby.
He peels off some bills.
Oh, Papa, thank you.
Why don't you buy yourself something sexy, something in white?
Uh-huh.
You know I like that.
I'll be back in an hour.
Later, Shanti drives in a 1960 convertible Buick down a brick driveway, lined with palm trees, then turns through iron gates onto a street. Kent sits in the back, Kenny in the front.
Foggy would a wooing go, whether his mother would let him or no. He went down to Miss Mousie's door.
Later, she pulls the car to a stop on an esplanade that fronts a sleek, modern hotel that extends down the block. A valet opens her door and she steps out, handing him the keys.
Can you keep the car up front? I won't be long.
Sir.
Inside the opulent hotel, she eyes a window display.
Oh, look at that.
All right, boys, it's time for us to play our little game.
Mom, I don't want to.
Oh, no, again. Come on, it'll be fun. I'll get you a lollipop when it's over.
Uh-uh.
All right. Why don't you wait at the door we came in?
I'll play.
You will. Let's give this a try.
She takes the four-year-old Kenny's hand and walks down a stairway, then steps excitedly over to a shop. Crouching, she looks towards a saleswoman.
Do you see that lady?
Kenny points.
Never point, sweetheart. I want you to go over and tell her how pretty she looks. That's what a gentleman tells a lady. And tell her how young she is, too.
That's all?
Yes, that's all. So go ahead.
Kenny's head reaches just above the woman's counter.
You're a pretty lady.
Why, thank you.
And you look so young.
That's so sweet of you.
One eye on Kenny, Shanti slips a white dress off its hanger.
Come over here. Now, what's your name?
Kenny.
Kenny, that's a nice name. Are you in school yet, Kenny?
Shanti stuffs the dress in her straw bag.
You're in kindergarten. Are you looking forward to that?
I guess so.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to love kindergarten.
What's kindergarten?
Shanti walks over slowly, bends down, and takes Kenny's hand.
It's a place where girls and boys have
lots of
fun.
Sweetheart. Maybe we'll come back another time. Thank you.
Now, in another part of the complex, Shanti leads Kenny past some slot machines.
Play those games, Mama?
Our games are more fun. We always win.
Now, in New York, Irene unlocks a glass-knobbed door, which opens to a spacious suite of furnished rooms with cathedral ceilings. She steps aside, and Kenny walks in.
Well, beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. I will be very happy here.
I'm so glad. I like to think of my guests as extended family.
Kenny breaks into a charming smile.
We have a complete staff. If there's anything you need, don't hesitate to call on them.
Oh, you will never accuse me of being bashful, Irene.
I'm pleased you're with us, Mr. Guerin.
She hands him the key dangling from a tassel.
Oh, thank you.
Irene's long silk jacket billows as she crosses to the door, where she turns with a smile. As Irene leaves, Kenny's smile fades. Tapping the key, he surveys the well-appointed rooms. Now, in a flashback, a 6-year-old Kenny anxiously rubs a pillar as he watches his parents.
They are not your family anymore. They just want your money. Why can't you see that?
So, I bought my daughter a birthday gift. How the hell did you even know about that? What did you do? Go through my credit card receipts?
You can't keep secrets from me. I'm too smart for that, and you know it.
They're still my children, even if they're grown.
No. Kenny and me, we're your family now. And Kent.
I'm not going to just cut off contact.
Well, I got a good idea of what could get cut off. Don't tempt me.
Shante.
I married you, not them. I put my life in your hands. I'm only asking that.
Kenny watches his parents embrace.
I'll give back to you.
Scowling, he stands in the doorway as they writhe against each other and kiss passionately.
Kenny, honey, go outside and play now.
Later, at Kenny's birthday party, a hired clown follows Shante, who carries a cake.
Come on, you can do it!
Yay! Happy birthday, Kenny!
Come on, everybody,
hang on.
There's enough. Maria, will you get that? You know what? There's a whole other cake in the fridge, so...
A maid opens the door to a policeman. Shante's face falls.
Oh, my God.
Shante Khan, we have a warrant for your arrest.
For what?
Grand larceny. Credit card fraud.
Maria, take the children out back. They can play with the clown. The other clown...
He cuffs her.
Sergeant Friday, is that really necessary?
Procedure, ma'am.
In front of the children. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
We're not the ones being arrested here.
Mama.
Don't go, Mama.
Oh, baby, listen, I'm only going to be gone a little while. These awful men have made a big mistake. I didn't do anything wrong, so there's nothing to be afraid of.
As she kneels in front of him, Kenny kisses her cheek. Kent holds his brother's shoulder.
Remember, you're my brave little man.
Now, in New York, Kenny stands looking out a window in his suite. As Shante comes in.
What a find this house is. Can you imagine what it's worth? I'm saying 10 million easy. It's prime real estate on the Upper East Side. The notes paid off. Nothing but equity. I got your favorite, sweetie. Mushu with extra hoisin.
Opening takeout containers, she glances at Kenny, who remains at the window.
What is it?
Nothing.
She eyes him.
I just want to get this one over with, all right?
Come to me. Come.
Slim, in her narrow skirt and ruffled white blouse, Shante holds out her arms. Kenny walks over. She kisses him gently on the mouth.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be all right. Now you sit. And eat. We got some work ahead of us. We got to get organized. And while we're thinking about it, let's make a list of what we're going to need. Dig my notebook out of my purse, will you?
She brings china plates
let's
to a
see.
Gleaming wooden table.
We're going to need some rope.
Duct tape.
Yeah. And flashlight. Oh, that sauce is so good.
Yeah.
She starts a list.
We need a shower curtain.
Duffel bag.
Duffel bag, large.
Yeah.
Handcuffs?
Yep. Rubber gloves.
Perhaps.
Down the foyer, a soft light glows in the etched glass panel of Irene's office door. She sits inside, reading. Fade to black. Now, at night, dark ivy trims the white facade of Irene's mansion. Glass panels in the wrought iron door glow with a soft light from the otherwise dark building. Inside, Kenny leaves his suite. Stepping carefully in his loafers and neat khaki pants, he crosses the foyer's marble floor to Irene's office door. He slips a metal ruler between the door and its jamb, then jostles the lock. Upstairs, Irene stirs in her sleep. Her dog, Sophie, lies on the bed by her feet. Kenny gently opens the office door and enters. Sophie jumps up. Startled, Irene opens her eyes. Frowning, she sits partway up in bed and listens, then leans out to comfort Sophie, pushing her hindquarters back down. In the office, Kenny unscrews the receiver cap of the phone and shoves a bugging device inside. As he reassembles the phone, Irene walks across her room and picks up her robe. With a worried look, Irene pads downstairs, then searches the first floor, peering into alcoves off the dimly lit foyer. In the office, Kenny rifles through a file drawer. Beneath some papers, he finds a passport. In the foyer, Irene reaches into the pocket of her silk robe and pulls out the office key. Kenny jerks his head around. Irene enters the office. Peering around, she finds it empty. Figurines and sterling frame photographs cover the room's marble tabletops. Light from the street lamp falls onto Irene's wary face and disheveled orange hair. She gives a satisfied nod, then closes the door behind her. Kenny steps out from behind a hand-painted screen. With a casual glance toward the door, he puts both hands on the gleaming mahogany desk, then sits down and leans back, pursing his lips thoughtfully. A hint of a smile appears on a smooth, boyish face. Now, Irene stands in the kitchen pouring a glass of milk. Scowling, Kenny peers from the foyer. As she shuffles towards the pantry, he shifts away from view.
Oh! Oh, my God. You scared the living daylights out of me.
He laughs.
What are you doing, sneaking up on an old lady like that?
I'm sorry. I saw the light.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, I couldn't sleep.
Neither could I. Would you like something? A glass of milk?
I have an aversion to milk.
Really?
Yes. It's disgusting when you think of it. It's this opaque secretion. It comes from the teats of an enormous farm animal.
Oh, yes. Well...
Shrugging, Irene takes a sip.
We drink it and we don't even give it another thought, you know? Isn't that amazing? What a person can get used to, what a person can just take for granted as normal.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Do you have children?
No. My husband and I never had a family.
You seem like you would have made a nice mother.
Well, perhaps you'll have a family of your own one day.
I doubt that.
Tipping her head, she studies his doleful face. Kenny gives her a resigned smile.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Mr. Guerin, I should be getting back to bed. Good night.
Irene?
She looks back in.
Sleep well.
Thank you.
She bobs her head with a polite smile. Now, Kenny walks through his suite of rooms. As his mother sits up in bed, he frowns at her and turns off the light.
Is everything all right?
Pacing, Kenny unbuttons his neatly pressed shirt.
You were gone so long.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Well, come get some rest.
She pats the sheets next to her in the double bed. With a heavy sigh, Kenny takes off his shirt and approaches the bed. Wearing a white, sleeveless undershirt and his khakis, Kenny takes off his shoes, turns off another light, and sits on the edge of the bed. He lies down on top of the bed's coverlet and stares at the ceiling. Shantae reaches over and takes his hand. Her eyes, heavy with mascara, flutter, then close. Kenny's blue eyes remain fixed on the ceiling. Now, in a flashback, young Kenny sits with Kent and a tutor on a terrace. Palm trees bend in a gentle breeze. Beyond, the ocean spreads to the horizon.
So let's try 29 divided by 3.
Kenny looks in at his parents.
Can I be friends with Kent?
I don't want our children rubbing shoulders with other children who aren't at their level.
Lonely for them. That's all I'm saying. Kids ought to be in a public school. Public school is good enough for me.
Oh, come on, Ken. Look, babe, we're retired now. You can live here in Hawaii, the Bahamas, Vegas, anywhere we want, whenever we want. I don't want to be stuck in one place simply because the kids are in school.
We move 6 times a year because we're trying to outrun subpoenas, lawsuits.
It's not my fault if people are after our money.
Insurance scams, credit cards, all your little games.
Hey, everything I do for us.
You don't have to do any of it. We're rich, Shantae. You have plenty of money. You're not the kid who had to survive on the streets anymore.
That's enough.
Later, Kenny watches his mother at the front door with Kent and a neighbor.
I found your boy in my garage stealing a surfboard.
Is that true, Kent?
Yeah.
All right. I'm so sorry. I'll take care of that.
I won't press charges this time, but if I ever...
It won't happen again. You can be assured of that.
Hanging his head, Kent eyes his mother on the way in. Shantae closes the door and leans one arm against it.
How stupid can you get? In broad daylight?
I won't steal anything again, I promise.
No, Kent, don't get caught again.
Kenny grins.
And you take that smile off your face. I want both of you to listen to me.
Shantae sits, facing the boys squarely.
Getting caught will just make you afraid. And if you're afraid, you gotta lose every time. And I'm not raising a pair of losers here. You understand what I'm saying?
Hmm? Yes, Mama.
Hmm? Yes, Mama.
Gotta use your noggins. You're my boys. You're smarter than that. Okay, come give your mama a hug.
Now, Kenny stands by the indoor pool as Shantae leads in a little girl.
Kenny! Kenny! Look what I have for you! A friend! This is my son, Kenny, and Kenny, this is Jane.
Hi. Hello.
All right, you two get to know each other. I'll go set up lunch. I thought we'd have a picnic.
Jamie grins. Kenny blinks nervously.
I've never seen you before. You would have thought I'd seen you around school or something.
We move a lot.
So your mom just goes out and finds friends for you?
No. I mean, well, maybe she did this time. I don't know. You don't have to stay if you don't want.
It's okay. I don't mind. She even said she'd pay me.
Now, waving her arms, Shantae dances past the pool with Jamie.
We got the sky. We got the beach. We got the sunsets. Everything all for us. Thank you, God! Of course, God didn't have anything to do with it. We paid for it.
Kenny stares, his blue eyes fixed on his mother. Now, in his New York suite, Kenny lies in bed staring at the ceiling. Next to him, Shantae turns in her sleep and drapes an arm across his chest. Kenny frowns, then sits up.
What?
He reaches for his shoes.
Where are you going?
Out.
He strides across the room.
Out where?
He puts on his blue dress shirt.
Kenny, answer me!
Buttoning the shirt, Kenny looks away.
Well, if you're going out to find a bimbo, good luck. Just don't bother coming back!
Her jaw trembling, Shantae brings her hand to her face. Outside, Kenny walks briskly away. daytime. In her office, Irene puts away books as a gray-haired woman sips from a cup.
You look a little tired this morning.
I had the hardest time sleeping last night.
You're usually dead to the world by 10.
Oh, Ramos, do you have a moment?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
The houseman comes in.
Have you noticed anyone in here, other than myself and the rest of the staff?
No, ma'am. Is everything all right?
Oh, I think so. It's just that everything seems to have been disturbed.
Oh, it's all right. Thank you.
Ramos leaves with a stack of towels.
I'm sorry, Beatrice. Now, where was I? You were in the middle of not sleeping. Yes, oh, right. And then I had the oddest conversation with the new guest. I don't quite know what to make of it. Oh. Hello? Oh, yes, thank you for calling. Could you hold on for just a moment? It's my insurance broker. Mm-hmm. You and I are long overdue. Why don't you come to dinner on July 4th? It'll be just the two of us, around 6.
Sounds fantastic. I'll bring the firecrackers. Oh, bye-bye, darling.
Bye, dear.
Beatrice leaves.
Yes, thank you for holding. That's right. I thought...
Now Kenny enters the suite. Shante listens to a tape.
I should increase the liability coverage on my house. My lawyer suggested that...
Sitting at a desk, Shante presses a button on the tape player and removes her reading glasses. Kenny gives her a defiant stare. Shante folds her arms as she saunters toward him, swinging her hips.
Welcome home. Couldn't stay away, could you? Prove yourself to be a big boy, did you?
Well, that's what she said.
Don't mock me.
Then don't bait me.
I am your mother and I will be treated with respect!
Sneering, Kenny turns away. Shante's face crumbles. Bowing her head, she gestures helplessly.
I suck the life right out of the air, don't I? I don't mean to.
What is it, Mama?
I hate getting older. I hate it so much. The world turns its back and it won't see you. I don't know why. But it won't.
She slumps onto the arm of the couch. Kenny gazes steadily at her, his arms crossed.
You're still beautiful. You can have any guy you want.
Come to me.
Shante stretches out her hand.
Don't make me beg.
Kenny slowly approaches her. Shante throws her arms around his neck and holds him close. His arms wrap around her.
I'm sorry.
Soon, we'll have everything we ever dreamed of. We'll be in a different country. We'll be millions of dollars richer. No more troubles. Just us. Do you? Don't say it if you don't mean it.
I do.
You do. All right. All right, then. We gotta pick up the pace here, you know? She is very smart. She's gonna catch up with us if we don't pick up the pace. So, here. I gotta prepare the deed. We gotta transfer the property. We'll pay the taxes. What the hell? And a notary. We've got to get a notary. Don't forget. Make notes on getting a notary. Okay, and look.
She writes in her notebook.
I've been looking at the calendar trying to pick a date. What do you think? I'm thinking 4th of July. All the employees will be gone. Irene will be here alone. Nothing is perfect.
Yeah?
Shante answers the door. Irene gapes at Shante.
Is Mr. Guerin in?
He can't be disturbed at the moment.
Well, I don't mean to bother you. Oh, I'm so sorry. We haven't met.
I'm Eva Guerrero, Mr. Guerin's personal assistant.
I'm Irene Silberman, owner of the building.
Yes.
Well, would you please let Mr. Guerin know that he is invited to a little soiree I'm hosting this evening. Cocktails, hors d'oeuvre, around 7 o'clock.
A soiree?
Yes.
What's the occasion?
A young artist, a friend of mine, is having an opening.
So you're a patron of the arts.
Mr. Guerin may be interested in attending.
I'll let him know. I may drop by myself.
As Irene leaves, she looks back at Shantae with disapproving frown. Fade to black. Now, a peephole frames a view of guests crowding the foyer.
Well, look at them. Bunch of East Coast intellectual smartasses.
How do I look?
You look great. Now, try and enjoy yourself, okay?
Yeah.
Holding Kenny's arm, Shantae wears a ruffled, low-cut white dress. Irene approaches them.
Mr. Guerin, I'm so glad you could make it.
I am too.
There are some friends of mine I'd like to meet. Well, a lot are old and weathered like me, but some are young and single. Will you excuse us?
Irene takes Kenny's arm, pulling him away from Shantae. Shantae wanders over to a woman wearing a fuzzy stole over a black dress.
Be right back.
That is beautiful. I've always had a passion for fur.
Thank you. It's a fake. Through and through.
Fake? Some sort of polyester. I could never own a real fur.
Why not?
Well, killing an animal just so I could wear it? I couldn't live with that.
Oh, see, then your conscience plays a sizable role in your life.
Doesn't yours?
I tried to keep it in check.
Across the room, Irene chats with Kenny and a blonde woman in her 20s. Shantae walks halfway up a staircase, then turns to watch them. The blonde woman, who wears a low-cut red dress over her tanned athletic figure, smiles brightly as she listens to Kenny. He leans closer, touching her bare arm. Shantae hurries down the stairs and storms out the front door, her chin trembling. Now, in a deli, Shantae strolls down an aisle. The fluorescent lighting accents her heavy eye makeup and lipstick. She glances up at herself in a security mirror. The view dissolves into a flashback. In a department store, a girl about 10 years old gazes into a similar mirror, which reflects a clerk and a customer. Darting nervous glances around the store, the girl sneaks a compact and a tube of lipstick from a display and hurries away. Outside, on the sidewalk, she gazes into the compact as she paints her mouth red with the lipstick. She presses her lips together. Nearby, a prostitute with disheveled blonde hair smiles seductively at a John. The woman frowns when she notices the little girl. The John hands the prostitute some folded money, and she tucks it inside her blouse as the little girl watches. Now, in the deli, Shantae steals a handful of small items from a counter and stuffs them into her sequin clutch bag. She glances around, her face slick with tears. Now, in the suite, Shantae traces a signature.
You can learn a lot about a person from their signature.
Hers is kind of a shape. She's saying to the world, take it or leave it.
Can you forge it?
No, don't use that word. I'm replicating a signature.
Shantae answers the door. A housemaid holds an armful of cleaning supplies. She smiles.
What is it?
I'm to clean the room. It's part of the service.
That won't be necessary. If Mr. Guerin wants the suite cleaned, then I'll let you know.
But every day,
I said, I'll let you know.
The housemaid's smile fades. She turns to go.
Thank you.
You remember, that's the maid and the other maid. It's just too funny.
In a flashback, Kent watches as a young woman irons.
I come here because she promised me good life, that I would be happy. But I work all day, all night. It never stops.
Well, maybe you could leave. Go back home.
How? She give me no money. How do I go back? She lie.
Shante walks up.
Why isn't this done?
I try.
The hot iron scorches a linen.
You idiot!
Mother, please, you don't have to...
Can't stay out of this.
I'm sorry, senora.
You stupid, careless. You scorch this Irish linen.
I wash again.
You can. It's ruined. What is it going to take? What is it going to take for you to learn? What?
Shante slams the iron down on the maid's hand.
You see what you made me do?
Now Kent packs as young Kenny watches.
You should stay, Kent. Mama needs you. She needs all of us.
Forget it. I'm going to enlist in the army. I'm getting out of here.
Come on.
No, I can't take this anymore. The cops, never staying in one place, one insane plan after another. Look, she is crazy, you know. Don't fool yourself.
She's our mother.
I don't care. Other people don't live like this. It's not normal.
What'll I tell her?
Well, tell her anything. I don't care.
Kenny watches his brother with a wide-eyed stare. A worried frown on his face, Kent sits down and gazes into his brother's eyes.
Kenny, you're my brother, and I worry about you. Look, I'll come back on my first leave. Maybe we can figure something out.
He gives Kenny's shoulder an affectionate squeeze, then picks up his bag and leaves. Now, in an office, Shante paces in front of her husband and an attorney.
That's a bunch of crap. Involuntary servitude. Damn maid could have left any time she wanted to. As a matter of fact, I often told her to go back where she came from.
She maintains you haven't paid her, that you've kept her a virtual prisoner.
That's a pack of lies, and I'll sue her for that.
Shante, if there's a way to cut a deal...
I'm not gonna cut a deal. I'm innocent.
There's been too much history. Shoplifting, petty larceny, credit card fraud, suspicious fires. The list goes on and on.
Your games have got to stop.
I haven't done anything wrong.
If there's a trial, every maid you've employed will come out of the woodwork to claim damages. You'll be wiped out.
Damn it, Shante. Cut a deal. We'll all go home and forget about this.
Now, in a courtroom.
This court recognizes Shante Kine's plea of guilty to 4 counts of involuntary servitude, and that she will serve a sentence of not less than 1 year for each count in consecutive jail terms.
What? I didn't agree to consecutive jail terms. I agreed to concurrent jail terms.
Counsel, will you please restrain your client?
Oh, this one coming.
And you know about it. This has all been in the works.
Bastard!
They have concocted to do away with me.
Mama. Well, I'm not going along with this.
Don't be foolish,
Shante. Mama! Baby! Mama! Do something!
I will, Shante. Promise.
The bailiff drags Shante away. Now, Irene writes at her desk. The housemaid enters.
Excuse me, Miss Silverman?
Yes, what is it, dear?
Oh, something's very strange here. I saw Mr. Guerin and that woman leave this morning, and I was going to use my pass key and tidy up, but I couldn't.
Why ever not?
Well, the key didn't work. Those people must have changed the lock.
What?
Well, my key works in all the other doors.
Well, I'll certainly get to the bottom of this, dear. Thank you.
Irene leaves through an address book as the maid leaves. Now, Kenny opens a box with a gun inside.
Kenny, no. Honey, I said no guns. The noise alone.
It's a taser. A stun gun. Fires an electric shock. One kiss of this, and she will be out cold. No noise, no mess, no nothing.
Good thinking. Very good thinking.
In Irene's office.
Yes, may I please speak to Scott McCauley? This is Irene Silverman. We're old friends. Ah, he's away for the holiday. Well, would you ask him, please, to give me a call when he returns? Thank you.
Irene sits back in her chair, her brow furrowed. Fade to black. Now, Kenny strides up to the mansion and lets himself in. In her office, Irene lays down her pen.
Mr. Miller, is that you? I found the book we spoke about.
Irene walks to the glass-paned French doors, carrying a book. She gazes through the partially open Venetian blinds. On the other side, Kenny stares at her. A flashback.
Huh? A dog? Oh. When'd you get a dog?
Kenny's last birthday. I thought we told you.
Yeah, I guess you did. I just, I forgot. Boy, the house...
I'll bring her out, Dad.
Seems so different, Papa.
Shantae takes tentative steps inside a spacious house. She stops in front of a mirror and gazes at her reflection. Her face is pale and drawn, her hair a mousy brown bouffant, her neck sinewy.
It looks good! And the flowers are a wonderful touch.
Yeah, well, they make the house smell nice. Kenny should be home any second now.
And Kent, where's he?
Kent called. He just couldn't get leave.
Oh. Well, he'll give us a call later.
I'll get you things upstairs, get you settled.
His hair streaked with gray, Ken carries out Shantae's bags. Outside, a Jeep drives up. Shantae peers through the window. A husky teenage boy hops out, then gives a blonde girl in the back seat a sensuous kiss.
Bye, guys. Yeah, next week.
Kenny runs inside the house and greets his mother with a grin. He stands taller than she is.
Look at you. You've grown a foot since your last visit.
Welcome home, Ma.
Oh, I missed you so much.
They wrap their arms around each other.
I want a new start with you. And Papa. A new beginning.
Okay. That sounds good.
We'll forget about everything that's gone so wrong. Yes. We'll have a new start. We'll move to the house in the Bahamas. That's what we'll do.
A troubled frown crosses Kenny's face.
No, Mom, I have school. I don't want to leave my friends.
Well, I saw your friends. Are they that important to you?
Yeah. We've been happy, Papa and me.
Oh, I see. And now I ruin everything now that I'm back. Is that what you're saying?
No.
To me?
No.
Well, this is a fine welcome.
Mom, that's not what I meant.
Do you have any idea what these past years have meant? Spent them in prison. For you. Wasted years. Hard years.
She takes his hand.
Come here, look at this.
She leads him to the mirror.
I'm not young anymore. That was my sacrifice. It has to mean something. Otherwise, I may just as well lie down and die.
Mama.
I need air. I need sun. I need to breathe again. I want us to move to the Bahamas. Don't you think? Yes, I need that. I deserve that much.
I know, but Mom, I have friends.
There's nothing more to say about it.
She walks away.
Mom, I won't go.
The Bahamas by the end of the week, and that's final.
No, I'm not going.
Yes, you are. You will do as you're told.
No, I won't.
Yes, you will.
I won't.
I am still your mother.
I don't care, Mom. I don't care.
Kenny grabs Shantae around the neck. Grappling, they fall to the floor. Ken rushes in.
No, Kenny. Let go, Kenny.
Ken pulls his son off.
Let go.
Shantae lies on the floor, her chest heaving. Later, in bed, Kenny lies on his side, staring. Shantae lets herself in.
Kenny, I know you're awake. I want to talk to you.
Wearing a pink satin robe, Shantae walks slowly to the bed.
Every night in prison, you know what I thought about? I thought about us. You've always had a family, so... You don't know what it's like
to have one.
Sitting on the bed, she rubs Kenny's back.
This is the only family I've ever had. And I am not going to let anyone take that away from me. I'll never let anyone separate us. Please, Kenny, I need you so much. There's so much I have to give you. I swear right now that for everything you give up, I will give back to you tenfold. I promise. There'll be girls and friends later. But make me a part of your life now.
Swallowing hard, Kenny closes his eyes.
I didn't get to finish raising you. I want that chance.
Shantae runs her fingers through Kenny's thick brown hair. He turns onto his back and gazes up at her. She caresses his smooth face.
I love you with my whole heart.
I love you too, Mom.
Slowly, she sinks down toward him. Now, at the mansion, the peephole frames a view of the foyer. The front door opens and Irene comes in with her dog Sophie on a leash.
She's back from her 11 a.m. stroll.
With the dog?
Yeah, with the dog. Always with the dog.
There you go.
Irene unfastens the leash and Sophie trots away. As Irene walks through the foyer, she notices the shadow of Kenny's feet in the crack beneath the suite door. Frowning, she comes to an abrupt stop, then takes slow steps toward the door. She takes off her glasses and presses one eye up against the peephole. An eye looks back at her. She recoils. Putting her glasses back on, she walks away, her lips pressed tightly together. Now, in the suite, a notary stamps and signs a document.
All
Thank
done.
You.
Kenny carries the papers to a figure lying in the bedroom.
Silverman?
Thank you for coming, dear. I don't get out much anymore.
Five signatures makes it $150, Miss Silverman.
Will you take care of this young woman, Mr. Guerin? I need to rest now.
Kenny leaves the darkened bedroom, closing the French doors behind him. He leads the notary to the suite door and hands her some money.
Thank you, Mr.
Guerin. Have a pleasant day.
Wearing a red wig, Shantae bursts out of the bedroom and winks at Kenny.
Give your mama a kiss.
You look ridiculous.
Well, I'm not here for the beauty pageant.
This is going to be a miracle if we don't get arrested.
As Kenny pores over the documents, Shantae takes off the wig.
What's the matter with you?
We look guilty.
We look guilty. Well, that's funny, because I don't feel guilty.
Is that what you're going to say when we're hauled off to jail? You don't feel guilty?
Yeah, that's exactly what you say. And you say it because you believe it. Everything involves some risk, Kenny. And life isn't worth a damn without it. Look at your brother. Look at Kent. What's become of him? Oh.
Kent is happy. Kent has a family.
He sells vacuum cleaners for a living. Is that what you want? You want to wake up every morning and wonder who wants to buy a vacuum cleaner? You call that a life? I don't. I don't think you do either. I think you want more. Like me. I lost one son to a small life. But not you. Not my beautiful Kenny.
She runs her hands over his broad shoulders.
We've been cooped up here so long. All we think about is work, work, work. It's easy to lose sight of what it's all for. There's a city out there. Let's say we go play in it. Hmm?
Now, a street teems with buses and cabs. On a crowded sidewalk, Shantae holds onto Kenny's arm as a window shop. Skipping a few steps, she points to a display.
Oh, yes!
Oh,
come on. Oh. Hey, loosen up. You big guy. You my desk guy. Oh, I've wanted to try on a pair of those. Do you like them? Are they good? All right. And Oh, yes, this is for Mama.
She breezes into a shop.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Mother, get a hold of yours.
No. We've got to take it all in. This is intoxicating. It's like a bullfight or a night of wild sex.
Ma, people can hear you.
Well, I don't give a rat's ass what people think of me. I mean, why are we here? Why are we on this planet? If not to enjoy the gorgeous things the world has to give us. And speaking of gorgeous things, oh my.
A display case of scarves.
Yes. I'd like to see these scarves.
Well, which of these would you like to see, ma'am?
All of them.
I'll go get the key.
Shantae cocks her head at Kenny.
No,
come on, please. No. I'm asking. For old time's sake. Come on.
Kenny's lips slowly form a devilish smile.
Yes.
He heads over to the perfume counter. He picks up a random bottle. Shantae smiles as a young red-haired clerk removes trays of scarves from the now unlocked case.
Yeah. Can you help me, please, miss?
I'll be with you in a moment, sir.
No, you go ahead. Take care of him. I'm fine.
The clerk leaves Shantae alone with the scarves. Shantae opens her purse.
I think this is the kind that my girlfriend wears, but I'm not sure. Can I,
Please.
Kenny sprays perfume on her wrist. Shantae puts scarves in her purse.
Yeah, that's it.
Shantae approaches them.
You have classically beautiful hands.
Thank you.
They are lovely, but maybe we can come back tomorrow.
Well, thanks.
Thank you.
Kenny hands the bottle to the clerk. Nighttime. At the mansion, Ramos finds Irene in the kitchen.
Mr. McCauley's on your private line, ma'am.
Thank you, Ramos. Scott McCauley, how are you? Are you still making the ladies laugh and the stockbrokers cry? Oh, no, I'm sorry if I worried you. It's just that I rented out one of my suites to a friend of yours, Manny Guerin. Well, he said he knew you. Are you sure? Well, he called, and he came by, and he paid me in advance. Guerin! Manny Guerin!
Fade to black. Now, in the mansion's foyer, Shantae heads for the front door. Irene hurries out of her office.
Miss Guerrero, I need to talk to you.
Well, I was just on my way out.
I have tried to reach Mr. Guerin, but he has not responded to any of the notes I have left for him.
And what might this be about?
I would like him to vacate the suite the end of the week.
He's not going to be too pleased to hear that.
Well, that may be, but I've made up my mind. Please inform Mr. Guerin to make other arrangements.
Yes, I will inform him.
Shantae heads back toward the suite. Now, in a flashback, she leaves a bank flipping through a passbook and gets into a parked car. Ken reclines in the driver's seat, his eyes closed.
Papa, there's not very much left in this account. We're going to have to make a transfer.
She looks at his still face.
Papa?
She leans toward him, touching his arm.
Papa? Papa, don't die on me. Papa, please. Come on, talk to me. Papa, I'm not ready for this. Papa, please. No, don't go! Oh, Papa, no!
She buries her face in his shoulder.
No.
Now, in an office.
It seems that your husband left things. Well, there's no will. At least not one that includes you. His children from his first marriage are mentioned in a document dated many years ago.
So, what, you're saying that he left everything to them?
Not everything. There are still bank accounts in your name. Kenny's college is paid for. You have plenty to live on. And with the proper investments,
I am not mentioned in the will.
No.
Shante stares at the lawyer.
After the years, the boys, the love.
As I said, you have your own assets. You're a relatively rich woman. But as far as the will is concerned, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't give me that I'm sorry crap. After the years of love I gave that man. That bastard.
Now, Kenny leaves school with a group of other students. He sees something and stops. Later, he stands with his mother, who fidgets frantically.
Kenny, we're in a terrible way. Papa left no will.
Well, he must have.
No, he didn't. And the lawyers are no help in our house. Kenny, the house in Vegas.
What about it?
Our home. There was a fire.
He grabs her by the shoulders.
What did you do? What did you do?
I didn't do anything.
What?
He glares at her.
Oh, for God's sake, Kenny, are you saying I killed him?
Did you?
No, I didn't. He could have dropped dead like anybody. He was just a man, that's all he was. He was only a man, a sick old man.
Kenny looks down, his brow furrowed.
Have you told Kent?
No. Kent's not here.
Shante runs her hand down Kenny's chest. She turns away.
Everyone in my life has betrayed me. Do you know that? Everyone except you. My mother was a $10 prostitute. My father was nowhere to be found. Even Papa, your own Papa.
He loved you.
I know it's hard to hear, but he let me sit in prison for 4 years.
Say that about him.
You're right. What's done is done.
She looks up, puffing out her chest, then turns back to Kenny.
Kenny, we're broke. We need each other. Just us.
She clings to him. He slowly puts an arm around her. Now, by the open trunk of a pizza delivery car, a young blonde-haired man stands with Shante and Kenny.
I got it for you, Shante, all right? It's just as you asked. It's clean, untraceable. Here, what do you think?
From a metal case, he takes out a pistol wrapped in a rag.
It was supposed to come with a Peroni.
Very funny, Shante. I don't have all day.
Shante takes the gun by the handle and cocks it. Kenny steps away and looks down uncomfortably. Shante gives back the gun and goes to her son's side.
It's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. What am I in the gun for?
Well, you know I've been getting threats. And crazy talk.
From Papa's old business partners?
Yeah. I just don't know what people are capable of doing, huh?
Kasdan?
Yeah, Papa had enemies. But we gotta protect ourselves now. Do you really think there's anyone out there on this planet who cares whether we live or die?
Kenny considers her, then looks away.
You listen to me. It is our God-given right to survive. An animal has that. And that's what we do. We survive. I'm not going to feel guilty about that. I never have.
Now, at a bar, they have drinks.
Kasdan's serious this time.
I'm sure he will understand our position.
He's threatened to go to the cops. You got the loan. He didn't.
Nobody forced him. He agreed to it. Now he's squealing like a virgin bride.
You agreed to take his name off the paper.
And I will. I just need a little more time.
Okay. How do we get him to do that?
He'll go along.
Now, in a dirt lot beneath freeway ramps, an old man limps toward two dumpsters. He peers inside one, then steps up to peer into the other. Amid the garbage, he moves aside a scrap of paper to reveal the face of a dead man with gray hair and a beard. Now, a Lincoln moves along an empty two-lane highway through sprawling farmland. Shantae drives wearing a dark straw cowboy hat. Next to her, Kenny wakes up and rubs his eyes.
Where are we?
Shantae shrugs.
Midwest, Iowa, Utah, maybe Nebraska. But the car is still pointed at New York.
Kenny puts on sunglasses and yawns.
And in Los Angeles yesterday, police detectives made a grim discovery. The body of David Kasdan, a local businessman, was found shot to death and left in a construction dumpster. As yet, police say they have no motive.
Kenny turns to Shantae. She turns off the radio, staring ahead at the road.
Poor David.
The car continues along the desert highway. Fade to black. In their mansion suite, Shantae watches David spread a shower curtain on the floor.
Good. Let's practice.
What?
Come on.
Come on. Practice what? What?
Dress rehearsal. Play dead.
Yeah. Shantae flops down on the curtain.
Good. Just like Irina. Get over there. Dead woman.
Kenny folds the edge of the curtain over her.
I'm not sure I like this draping.
Hey, upside, Irene, is we cured your insomnia.
He folds the other edge over her. In the foyer, Irene creeps toward the door of the suite, listening. Inside, Kenny holds his mother in his arms, with the curtain wrapped and tied around her, and spins.
Are you gaining weight?
Outside, Irene purses her lips and walks away. Inside, Kenny gently puts his mother down on the floor.
See, that's the trouble with dead bodies. Where in God's name do you put them, huh?
In the hallway, Irene heads for the staircase. She looks back abruptly at the door, then heads upstairs. Inside the suite, Kenny leans against the bundle containing his mother. Now, in a flashback, the Lincoln drives along a small town road. Later, Shantae leaves a general store, carrying a sheet of paper. She pumps her fist in the air.
Kenny, take a look at this! It's insurance money for the house that burned. I say we ought to cash it quick before they change their minds.
Kenny turns to her with his brow furrowed.
You did burn it down, didn't you?
Kenny, insurance doesn't pay for arson. Come on.
Kenny regards her thoughtfully. They head for the car. Shantae gets in the passenger seat, and Kenny gets in the driver's seat. The Lincoln drives by wide fields of amber grass at the foot of rolling hills. Now, in a hotel corridor, Kenny carries their luggage past a room service cart covered with dirty dishes. Shantae unlocks a room marked 126. They enter a moderately sized room with beige walls. Kenny puts down the bags on the queen-size bed while Shantae peers out a window.
Ugly view.
Yeah, we're only here for a night.
Sweetie, get that room service cart in here, will you please?
He puts his hands on his hips. She grabs the phone.
Yes, I've just let myself into room 126, and I'm very disappointed. Well, there seems to be a room service cart right in the middle of the room, complete with dirty plates. Well, I don't know. I would suggest you take that up with your staff. Well, in any case, I am very offended, and I would like a complimentary suite to be moved to, and make that a suite with a view.
Kenny rolls in the cart.
Oh, very good. Thank you. They're moving us to Penthouse.
Now, in the mansion.
Ramos, have you seen my passport anywhere?
No, ma'am. I didn't know it was lost.
Misplaced, I hope. Are you off for the weekend?
Yes, if there's nothing else.
No, that's fine. You go ahead.
Think you'll make it to Central Park for the fireworks?
No, I think I'll be sticking close to home.
Well, all right, Mrs. Silverman. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Ramos heads for the front door. Kenny watches through his peephole.
One Filipino houseman gone.
So much for Irene's full-service staff, hmm?
Shantae sits on a couch in a black blouse writing in her notebook. In the office, Irene closes a file cabinet drawer and puts a hand on her hip. Through the peephole, Kenny watches a man in a suit walk to the front door.
The guy from 3A. He's leaving. He's got his weekend bag.
Good.
Shantae picks up a cordless phone receiver.
Tony!
Yeah?
Shantae Kimes!
Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
What can I do for you this time?
Well, I got an offer I want to make.
Really?
A business offer.
What kind of business?
The one where you make a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
Just shut up and listen, will you? I've got a multi-million dollar piece of real estate that we've taken over, and I need a building manager until I sell it. I want you to come to New York.
Tell me more.
When you get here. Now, let's talk when.
In the foyer, the maid.
The man in 1B, he's the only one here. And I don't think I like him. And that woman.
Yes. Well, he keeps to himself. And he'll be gone soon enough anyway, so I wouldn't worry. Have a wonderful 4th of July. Go on, it's fine.
You sure you'll be all right?
I'll be absolutely fine. Oh, stop worrying. Beatrice is coming to dinner. I have plenty to do.
But I have Sophie. Sophie and I will keep each other company. Now go.
The maid heads for the front door. She pauses for a moment to watch with a concerned look as Irene walks into the office, followed by the dog, Sophie. Later, Irene sits at the kitchen table with Beatrice.
That was exceedingly delicious raspberry tart. A little bakery on 52nd. I walk there in a vain attempt to justify the purchase.
Are you sure you won't come stay in the guest room? I don't like to leave you here alone. Come on. We can get up early. Go and get our nails done. Hmm?
That's very kind. But no, I'll stay here and hold down the fort.
Beatrice looks down, tilting her head to one side.
I don't know. I'm worried about you.
Oh, come on now. You know me. I'm like an old tea bag. I get stronger in hot water.
I'll go then, huh?
I'll see you out.
Through the people, Kenny watches the women walk to the front door.
Take care. Uh-huh. And call me next week and let me know about the Monet exhibit.
Sure.
Ciao.
The friend just left. That's it. It's just the three of us.
Did you go over the checklist?
Yeah, twice.
Okay, so this then is it. The 4th of July. Our own Independence Day!
Irene carries a teacup on a saucer from the kitchen into the hall. She turns, then walks slowly toward the office. On the phone inside, a button marked 1B flashes. Irene considers it as she puts down the teacup. She abruptly pushes the button and picks up the receiver.
Yes.
Miss Silverman, how are you this evening?
Fine, Mr. Guerin. What can I do for you?
I was wondering if you could drop by.
Irene looks nervously at Sophie.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. What is it you need, Mr. Guerin? My staff is away on the holiday.
Oh, no. It's nothing I need. I was just wondering if we could discuss extending my stay.
Well, Mr. Guerin, I thought I made myself quite clear.
Well, maybe we can iron out whatever it is that's troubling you.
Mr. Guerin, we'll discuss this another time.
She takes a deep breath.
I don't like this, Sophie.
Sophie peers up at her.
I don't like it at all.
Irene scratches the dog's neck, kisses her on the head, and pats her back. Now, the door to Suite 1B opens, and the Kimes step out slowly, looking around. Shantae's high eyebrows are arched, and her wide lips curl into a deep frown. On the back stairs, a shadow disappears upward. Shantae and Kenny stalk into the foyer near the kitchen. Kenny heads for the stairs and climbs up. Now, he enters Irene's suite. It's dark, and her neatly made bed is empty. He scans the room carefully. Downstairs, Shantae creeps through the office. She picks up something from a dish and eats it, then wanders back toward the foyer.
Irene!
Shantae crouches to peer out a window. Kenny climbs partway down the main staircase and pauses.
Irene, where are you?
Our view moves past oil paintings, heavy pleated draperies, and a vase of flowers in dim evening shadows. Shantae peeks into the foyer.
Irene, don't hide!
Irene! We know you're here!
Shantae chains the front door.
Irene, you're ignoring us! Is that any way to treat your guests?
In the kitchen, steam jets from a kettle on the stove. Shantae and Kenny enter the room slowly, searching around with narrow eyes. Shantae pauses and looks toward a pantry door near the stove. Kenny strides over and opens it. Sophie leaps out, knocking Kenny over. Fade to black. Nighttime, outside the mansion. Shantae and Kenny carry a long, heavy bundle wrapped in a gray cloth and ropes up the front door. They set it down on the steps, and Kenny creeps forward to scan the street. He hurries back to the door and closes it. He grabs the bundle, and they lift it again, leaving three drops of blood on the steps. They strain to carry it to the curb and toss it into the trunk of the Lincoln. Shantae digs keys from her pocket and hands them to Kenny. He kisses her on the cheek. Later, Shantae clenches her jaw nervously as Kenny drives. They pass bright lights and billboards for Broadway shows. Shantae rubs the back of Kenny's neck with her hand. Daytime. At a hotel restaurant, Tony, the man who sold Shantae the gun, slouches in a chair, his eyes shifting nervously. Shantae in a red blouse and Kenny in a suit join him at the table.
Hey, what do you know? You showed up.
Why wouldn't we show up? We paid your way here.
So, what you got going, huh? Some genius plan?
Hi, hello, what's the plan? Who taught you to have a conversation?
Sorry, what, you want to catch up on old times first?
Behind Tony, Kenny notices a man in a suit staring sternly at him. He turns to see another man in a suit behind him. Both wear wires behind their ears.
I don't get it.
Mom, we gotta go.
What?
Mom, come on.
What? No, we have things to
do.
Oh! Kenny, what is it?
Kenny pulls Shantae away. Four men in suits grab them.
You have the right to remain silent. Any and all statements made by you without benefit of counsel can and will be used against you.
In an interrogation room, Shantae sits with one of the detectives.
Petty larceny, insurance fraud, involuntary servitude. You have quite a history, Shantae.
If you can put me under arrest, you can pronounce my name correctly. It's Shantae.
The detective smiles tightly.
It's prettier than one.
You really something, Shantae. Why are you and your boy in New York?
Is it illegal to come to the city?
It depends on what you're up to. And what kind of deal were you offering Valero?
Shouldn't I be asking you that question?
I hope you're this clever in court.
What am I being held for?
Right now, floating a bad check across the interstate.
A check? What? What check?
To a Roger Parkinson. You remember him? He sold you the Lincoln. Check bounced.
All right, I'll write him a check from a different account. Case closed.
She stands up.
Where's my son?
He's close by. You want to see him?
Yes.
Not until I say so. Sit down. Let's talk this through.
She sits, slowly.
Why was the spare tire in the back seat of the car?
Penal code 101C, 2-5, for placing a spare tire in the back seat of a car, right? I plead guilty as charged.
A pair of brass knuckles, handcuffs, syringes, a vial of pink fluid, flunitrazepam, that's a date rape drug. Not exactly an ordinary picnic basket, is it?
I don't know anything about any of it.
We're checking the trunk, the traces of blood. You want to tell us anything?
Yeah, I do. go to hell.
Now, Irene Silverman, who's she to you?
I've known Irene for years. She wanted to sell her building, her house, and I have connections in real estate.
Well, why do you have her passport and her driver's license and the transfer deed documents for her property?
She gave them to me.
Why?
To keep. I don't know. Maybe she thought they would be helpful in the transaction.
And what about all the other stuff?
You planted it. Every bit.
Now, why would we do that?
Simple. You concoct a case, you put in for a bonus. Isn't that the way it works? Come on. Everyone knows New York City has the most corrupt police system in the world.
The detective nods. He closes a folder and gets up.
You sit tight.
He and the other detective leave the room.
I want my lawyer!
In another room, Kenny stands.
Mama!
Kenny! Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Kenny! Kenny, it's all right!
Mama, I'm scared!
No, be strong! Be strong! These men have made a terrible mistake!
Kenny furrows his brow and looks down uncertainly. Shantae cringes and holds back tears. Now, in the courtroom.
Hear ye, hear ye. All right.
At the defense table, Shantae and Kenny stand by their lawyer, a white-haired man. The judge enters and takes his seat. Everyone sits.
Everything's gonna go well. You'll be strong for me.
Shantae holds Kenny's hand and strokes his hair. The judge eyes them sternly.
Truth is.
There will be no hand-holding?
Kenny looks up, surprised, and releases his mother's hand. She glares at the judge. He picks up a sheet of paper and reads from it.
The state of New York indicts Xante Kimes and Kenneth Kimes on 84 counts of robbery, burglary, grand larceny, attempted grand larceny, forgery, eavesdropping, possession of weapons, possession of stolen property, forged documents, and premeditated murder. How do the defendants plead?
We are innocent, Your Honor. We have been framed.
Sit down.
There is no crime because there is no body. How could there be a crime without a body? The police don't even know where the woman is. She could be off on a vacation for all they know.
Defense, your client is out of order.
They manufactured this crime. It's a premeditated murder of my own son who has done nothing.
Mama! Stop it.
Your plea of innocent is duly noted. Bailiff, get them both out of here.
They don't have a shred of evidence, not a witness. If the police are allowed to get away with this, then every citizen of this country is in big trouble.
Bailiff!
You cannot convict without a crime. I know that much. I am not a murderer. I am a mother. Kenny, justice is coming. You be strong. You be my brave little man.
I love you, Mama.
I love you!
Now, in a vacuum store.
Kent's Vacuums, leave a message.
Kent, honey, your brother and I are in New York, and we've been arrested, sweetheart. They're framing us for murder, Kent, which you know can't be true. Now's the time we need to stick together. If your brother and I are ever going to see justice, and...
Kent stands by the answering machine, listening.
Just want to hear your voice. You're my son.
He presses a button on the machine.
Firstborn.
Erase all messages.
Now, Kenny lies alone on a cot in a jail cell, with one hand between his folded legs. He stares off, frowning. Now, in the courtroom, Shantae and Kenny stand. The judge puts on reading glasses.
The victim in this case, Irene Silverman, embodied the best of New York City. In the course of an outrageous scheme to appropriate false ownership of Miss Silverman's building, you and your son, a remorseless predator, murdered a defenseless old woman. Miss Kimes, you rank
as the most degenerate defendant ever to appear in this courtroom. A sociopath of unremitting malevolence.
Shantae's eyes widen, and she looks aside.
Having reached a guilty verdict, this court orders that Sante Kimes be remanded to the state penitentiary for a period of 120 years to life. This court also sentences Kenneth Kimes to 126 years to life.
Now, in prison, a gray-haired Shantae holds a public phone.
Yes, Ken Kimes. I want to speak to him. He's my son. Well, when? When? I'm just asking a simple...
She cringes and hangs up the phone. Slowly, she turns to walk through a corridor, where other female inmates return to cells and guards close heavy doors. She passes between white lines marked on the floor. Shantae frowns deeply and verges on tears. Light falling through a wire mesh above her lines her pale face with shadows. Now words appear. On March 20, 2001, Kenny Kimes was extradited to California to stand trial for the murder of David Kasdan. Shantae Kimes has resisted extradition on the grounds of ill health. She is serving out her sentence at Bedford Hills Correctional Facility in New York. If convicted of the Kasdan murder, Shantae and Kenny Kimes could face the death penalty in California. The whereabouts of Irene Silverman's body remains a mystery.